Thanks for joining us for the weekend edition of In Spirit and Truth with Pastor J.D. Farag of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Each Friday and Saturday here on In Spirit and Truth, Pastor J.D. gives a Mideast prophecy update from an Arab perspective as he connects the dots of current events geopolitically with last day's prophecies biblically. It is our belief that the next event on God's prophetic clock is the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that these Bible prophecy updates will not only ready you and steady you for His return, but that they will also encourage you to share the gospel with others in order that the rapture will not be as a thief in the night. Why would China begin putting pressure on North Korea in regards to their gas exports? North Korea is heavily dependent on China for gas. By doing so, China is hoping to discourage North Korea from their continual pursuit of the development of a nuclear weapon. Friends, this is something we need to be watching very carefully. Now, don't forget to stay with us after today's prophecy update to learn how you can become a Facebook friend or watch the weekly prophecy update on YouTube. Now, here's Pastor J.D. with today's prophecy update as shared on April 23rd, 2017.
When I was a little kid, I used to play my grandfather a Jordanian card game. And in Arabic, he would say, when he beat me, which was like all the time, he would say, "Ana Akbar, I am greater. My score is higher, higher." Not my score is high. That doesn't mean anything. Not my score is great. Doesn't mean anything. My score is greater than yours. That's what Akbar in Arabic means. So he's chanting, "Allahu Akbar," in the name of Islam. And they call it a hate crime, not terrorism. Well, this terrorist attack on Thursday in France took place prior to and in concert with what's being dubbed as the most important presidential election in France's history. If you've been following it, 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, we will know who will then go to May 7th, which is a couple weeks from today. They do voting on Sunday. Isn't that interesting? We do it on Tuesday. They do it on Sunday. That should tell you something right there. But anyway, at stake, listen, in this super close election are issues such as immigration, borders, terrorism, and a potential for Frexit. What's Frexit? Like Brexit, it is France exiting the EU. Again, profound prophetic implications. But all that doesn't compare to the biggest issue at stake, and it's Israel. And it doesn't look like it's going to bode well for Jews, regardless of which candidate wins. The Times of Israel quoted a French Jewish leader as saying that there is a real danger that France's democracy will be destroyed by its next president. And they're referencing, namely, that of this Marine Le Pen, who is supposed to be, they say, conservative, but she was recently quoted as saying that France was not responsible for the murder of Jews whom French police helped round up for the Nazis. She has also vowed to ban kippahs and the right of French citizens to have an Israeli passport. Prohibitions, she said, were necessary to enforce similar limitations on Muslims. The article goes on to talk about the other candidates, none of whom are pro-Israel. And in fact, just this morning, the Times of Israel published another article in which they quote a Russian chief rabbi as saying that France's Jews should leave if Le Pen wins. And as of this morning, the runoff vote, which will again be determined in 2 weeks on Sunday, May 7th, had Le Pen and another candidate by the name of Macron neck and neck. And the problem is that neither Le Pen nor Macron are any friend of Israel. In fact, you could say that they are very anti-Israel. Well, let's leave France, if you don't mind. Let's go to my birthplace of Lebanon, and a very interesting development as it relates to the Lebanese prime minister asking the United Nations to help seek a permanent truce with Israel. This is extremely interesting. According to Ynet News, Prime Minister Hariri's request comes after the Lebanese-based terrorist group Hezbollah toured the Lebanese-Israeli border the previous day in a show of force that likely prompted him to seek out a quiet front with Israel. Here's the problem for this Lebanese prime minister. You have Hezbollah there in Lebanon. And Hezbollah is an arm, an extension, a proxy of none other than Iran, who we're going to talk about now. Actually, we're going to come full circle to the United States via Russia and Iran in Syria. I happened upon this most fascinating op-ed in Arutz Sheva about how Iran is trying to provoke a Russia-U.S. war in Syria. While I don't necessarily agree with his premise, it is very interesting nonetheless. Let me quote briefly from this op-ed. When you boil Syria down to its principal players, there are only three: Russia, the United States, and the Islamic Republic of Iran. With Assad's chemical attack, people have been misdirected from the reality by blaming the powerless Assad, but Assad doesn't move without direct Iranian permission. So, the real question is, why did Iran launch a chemical weapons attack? In order to see why Iran is attempting to foment a Russia-U.S. battle, one has to boil the Syrian theater into the child's hand-against-hand game of rock, paper, scissors, known here in Hawaii as junk in a pole, right? I learned that very quickly when we moved here. My Kailua girl wife, born and raised, when we first moved here, 13, going on almost 14 years ago now, she said, do not ever call it rock, paper, and scissors again. I never did, except for right now. She also said, do never call slippers flip-flops. I will kill you if you ever call them. So I don't, and also pop. On the mainland, we say pop, not here, soda. Soda. I'm learning. It took me a few years. I'm getting there. But anyway, junk in a pole. Interesting. As such, Russia is the rock, Iran is the paper, and the United States is the scissors. The writer goes on to explain what he perceives are the geopolitical dynamics of this, which to me form what I see as, and what I've called it for years as, the perfect prophetic storm, particularly in Isaiah 17 and subsequently in Ezekiel 38. A number of years ago, I put together this graphic showing the nations that are listed in Ezekiel 38's prophecy in white, and the nations who are conspicuously absent from Ezekiel 38 in the yellow. And obviously, the bullseye, the target, the goal, the goalposts are there in Israel. Now, why do I revisit it today? Because it's germane to our understanding of the aforementioned perfect prophetic storm. I would suggest that in just the last 2 weeks, we witnessed what is arguably an unprecedented shift in this prophetic direction. And for the most part, it took place under the radar, especially for us here in America. We're concerned about all kinds of stuff. And the media doesn't help. Even Fox News, by the way, doesn't help. This is all happening, and it all has the target, the goal, as being Israel. And we're concerned with Caitlyn Jenner being on what used to be Bill O'Reilly's time slot, who's less salacious, isn't it? So now we're all talking about O'Reilly after 21 years not being on Fox News. And so now you've got this Tucker Carlson, who I like, by the way. Okay. And so now he's going to have Caitlyn Jenner on his program, the very first show. And we're more concerned about that than we are what's happening here. Let me just share this. It was one of those textbook paradigm shifts for me in my life. And it took place when I was in Moscow, Russia, teaching at the Bible college. And the students that I was teaching there took me and showed me a map, a world map. And they said, look at that map. And so I looked at the map. I said, what do you notice about the map? I looked at the map and I said, well, I notice it's in Russian. That's very perceptive of you. Wow, very profound. Very good. Very good. So what else do you notice about it? I looked down and I kind of looked down. It's kind of a weird map. It's all in Russian and it didn't look like my map. And they were quick to point out that at the center of their world map is Russia. Go figure. That's it. I mean, how simple. Our world map at the center of our world is America. At the center of their world map is Russia. Well, you know who's at the center of God's world map, which is the only one that matters? Israel. Israel. That's the center, as one called it, the epicenter. That's where everything centers on, and that's what we're seeing. On Thursday, the Times of Israel published a report about Nikki Haley, who I've also, I like her. Okay, I'm not an evangelist for Nikki Haley. It's close though sometimes, okay? But I love her pro-Israel stance and position. And I love her boldness too, by the way, especially at the UN. Well, Times of Israel published this report about her urging the UN to shift its criticism from Israel to Iran. Let me just share a little bit about what the Times had to say. Since Haley assumed her post in January with the promise that there is a new sheriff in town, she has repeatedly chastised the UN for what she says is its Israel obsession. Does that sound like Zechariah 12? It should. And anti-Israel bias. Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danny Danone, who also addressed the meeting, welcomed Haley's efforts to redirect the council's attention. Like Haley, Danone spoke out against what he said was increased Iranian aggression in the region. Where there is terror, where there is death, there is Iran. Tehran is an accomplice in the atrocities taking place every single day in Syria. Danone told the council, Iran not only threatens the region through proxies, it threatens the region directly with its continued ballistic missile tests. By the way, you probably heard it on Fox News, where it was stated that Iran is abiding by the spirit and even the letter of the nuclear agreement. That is a lie. That is a lie. They are not abiding. They have broken that nuclear deal from the pit of hell. That's where it's from. They have broken it already. Forget letter, forget spirit. It has been broken. It has been violated. And brazenly so, by the way. Brazenly so. The Iranians have not hidden their intentions. Just 2 days ago, they wrote on one of their missiles, no surprise here, death to Israel. You understand that they have missiles with death to America on them too, right? You understand that, right? Okay. Times goes on to quote Nikolay Mladenov, the UN's special coordinator for the Middle East peace process, who said, today, listen, a perfect storm. He got that from me, I think, because I've been saying that for years. A perfect storm has engulfed the Middle East and continues to threaten international, listen, peace and security. Millions have been displaced in the biggest refugee crisis since the Second World War. Okay, I'm going to bring it to an end the way we began and reiterate my assertion that everything taking place globally has Israel, specifically Jerusalem, at the center. When you peel back all the prophetic layers, what you'll find at the core of all that's happening, North Korea, China, Iran, Russia, et al., what you'll find is the nation of Israel. And this is why, by the way, Israel is referred to as God's prophetic clock. You want to know what time it is in terms of Bible prophecy? You look at Israel. And when you look at Israel today and you understand the times and you understand the prophecies in the Bible, you know how late the hour is. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Rome, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, says this, "And do this." You want to know what time it is? He says, "Knowing the time, that now it is high time." High time for what? Time to wake out of your sleep. And here's why. "For our salvation now is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness." He's talking to the church. This is to the church in Rome. "Not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Can I paraphrase it this way? Get your affairs in order. Get your affairs in order. Are you drowsy spiritually? Are you in a spiritual slumber? Wake up. Wake up. The alarm is sounding. Do not hit that snooze button. Wake up. Wake up and get dressed and get ready and put on and clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. How? How do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? The most important question you could ever ask and answer because of its eternal ramifications. What does that mean? How do I put on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm up now. I need to get dressed. I need to put on my clothes. Well, put on and clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. How? I'm going to share with you again the ABCs of salvation. Very simple. This is the gospel message. The A is for admit, or if you prefer, acknowledge that you're a sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of God's perfect standard of righteousness. This is why you need Christ's imputed righteousness. There is none righteous, not one, save Jesus Christ, which is why you need to clothe yourself in Christ's imputed righteousness. But you have to acknowledge and admit that you're a sinner in need of the Savior. And the B is for believe. Believe in your heart. Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again from the dead. And when you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, see, call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13 says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. For me, it was over 35 years ago. I was just thinking about it this last week, and I'll end with this. I know I said I would end about 5 minutes ago. This is my final closing right here. Right here is the final closing. I was thinking this last week about how over 35 years ago, I had heard the gospel presented very simply. It had to be. I was so brain damaged from all the drugs and the lifestyle I was living. And I was actually high and drunk at the time that I heard the gospel. That means God can reach you wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what your past is like. You might be watching online. It doesn't matter. God's grace is sufficient. God saves the uttermost from the guttermost, as it's been said. And I was at the lowest point in my life, and I heard the gospel presented very simply, and I acknowledged my need for the Savior. And I actually realized that the devil was real, and I concluded that if the devil was real in the music that I was really involved with, these bands, these groups that I was heavily into, even the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin particularly, some of the later ones, AC/DC, On the Highway to Hell. And when I realized that the devil was real, I concluded that Jesus has to be real. And I prayed, I fell asleep praying, basically the most basic prayer and the simple prayer you could ever pray. Basically went like this. I don't want to be on the highway to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. And I woke up the next day. I was a new creation in Christ. All things had become new. The old had passed away. I could not start my day without drinking and drugging. And I even had a tobacco addiction at the time. And I went to reach for those things that very next morning. And the Holy Spirit indwelling me says to me, didn't need to be audible, but very clearly, you don't need that anymore. And I was so blown away. It was like, I've tried to quit on my own. I have to. I cannot function unless I get drunk and I get high and I got to have my tobacco. I have to. And I have to listen to this music. And the Holy Spirit said, you don't need that anymore. You're a new creation in Christ. And that was over 35 years ago, and I never looked back. I never looked back. And God can do that for you. God can do that. If He can do that for me, He can do that for you too. Why don't you all stand? We'll pray. Father in heaven, I think when I pray this, I do so on behalf of everybody in this wonderful church that is my privilege to pastor, and those watching online somewhere, anywhere in the world, that we cannot possibly thank you enough for your grace. We're saved by grace through faith. It's the gift that you give to us. It's not of our works, lest any of us should ever boast. Lord, I pray that for anyone here or anyone watching online that has never received that gift freely given, which cost you everything, I pray that today they would call upon you, that they would be saved. Today, that today would be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us for this special edition of In Spirit and Truth with Pastor J.D. Farag of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Now, it's so important that you hear the purpose behind these prophecy updates that Pastor J.D. shares. The purpose is to see people just like you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you're right with the Lord, you'll be ready for the Lord and His soon return. You can do this by first admitting you're a sinner, that you've broken God's perfect law. Second, you need to confess that there's nothing you can do to fix this. You can't attend church enough, you can't pray enough or give enough money. There's nothing you can do to atone for your sins. Third, you must realize that there is someone who can. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is the Savior of the world. He gave His own life so that you wouldn't have to experience the penalty for your sins, which is death. Please, if you're listening today, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and escape the realities of the prophecies that are being fulfilled all around you. For more information about what it means to be born again into the kingdom of God, log on to inspiritandtruthradio.com and select the New Believers option. Again, that web address is inspiritandtruthradio.com. Now, in the next edition of In Spirit and Truth, Pastor JD will be teaching through God's Word, just like he does Monday through Thursday. And then don't forget to join us next Friday and Saturday for another timely prophecy update. Until then, may God bless you and keep you in his love.